This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins.
Danny.
In for the vacation, and Kelly Bidlin, who is out one more day. Kelly will be back tomorrow. How you doing, Danny?
Doing good. How about yourself,
Kelly? Thanks for being here. Doing very well. Yeah. You coloring your hair, man? That's very, very dark here. Yeah. I'm kidding, obviously. Right. You're like 18 years old or something like that. Danny will hold down the fort here for one more day for us. You can follow Danny at DHiggins_4. Danny, you have put together a banger today.
Oh, yeah.
We got a banger. Let me do it in chronological order. Greg Peterson will join us. He's got a whole bunch of baseball plays on a baseball day that begins with a Patriots Day game between, the Red Sox always play this Patriots Day game on Monday in April. I attended one of these. I want to say 1990. The Brewers beat the Red Sox 18-0, as memory serves.
I did as well, because I went to school up there in Boston.
Oh, yeah,
so
me too.
When I first got up there, I didn't even know what when they said Patriots Day and I was off of school, I was like, oh, this is great.
This is awesome.
It's awesome.
Let's go to a baseball
game. Go to the city, see the marathon, and good to go.
Let's see if Greg has a play in the in that game today, and others, of course, will have his Fab Five. Michael Montesano on the NFL Draft. Danny and I went full ham on the draft on Friday. We will do so again with Montesano here. Coming up on the show, Wes Reynolds with his normal Monday spot. We'll see how he did at the tournament this week. Jeff Parlay, the Grover Cleveland of producers, coming in on the show today, checking in. And ladies and gentlemen, the return, the triumphant return of Jason Weingarten. Are we talking draft with him? Is that what he wants to talk about?
A little draft, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Jason Weingarten on the show. We'll just update. I just want to find out what he's been up to, what he's betting on these days. From under a cloud of smoke, Jason Weingarten. What's it been? It's got to be over a year for sure. And then Adam Burke talking Major League Baseball with us. He'll be on the show a little later on as well, his regular Monday spot. I have often said, Danny, maybe 100 times, 300 times, 1,000 times on this show, that the first round of the NBA playoffs is interminable and there's no reason for them to play best of sevens. This was the embodiment of it this weekend. And of course, I'm note-taking game by game, thinking I'm going to have something great to talk about on Monday. Of course, again, juxtaposed also against the NHL playoffs, which yesterday was on brand for the NHL playoffs. Not only did Montreal beat the Lightning in overtime, and the Golden Knights, in case you missed it, late night last night, came back down a goal in the third period to beat the Utah Mammoth. That was awesome. And then the big one, the Sabres down to the Bruins 2-0. And the Sabres put 4 goals in the back of the net, not in the last period, in the last 8 minutes of the third period.
Oh, Gil, don't trust me. I know. Cause I had under 6.
You
and
had
a
the
half.
Under.
I had under 6.5.
That was my next comment.
That's what it was.
The under's going to die in those last games. Yeah. Especially that one was brutality, but still, what a product the NHL has as opposed to the NBA. So because we have all these guests, here's your NBA weekend in review in just a few minutes. And you'll get the idea here. Raptors, first of all, it's Saturday, right? The Raptors never led after the first quarter. Cavs led by 24 early fourth quarter. They went by they were up 21 with under 4 minutes left. They end up winning by 13. So cosmetically low 13, but the Cavs get it done against the Raptors in game one. Spider Mitchell had 32. Then it was the T-Wolves and the Nuggets. This was actually, of all the games this weekend, all the 8 NBA games, this one was the closest, the latest. T-Wolves led by 10 at the end of the first quarter. Gordon was in foul trouble. You thought, oh boy, here could T-Wolves again. But then Murray, 17 in the first half. They were tied at the half. T-Wolves never led in the second half. Nuggets built the lead to as many as 15 in the third quarter, 12 after the third quarter. T-Wolves got it within two, nearly halfway through the fourth quarter. But Jokic 3 the hard way, then a subsequent tip in. Denver wins by 11. Murray, 30. Jokic, 25, 13, and 11. Ant, 22 in defeat. Nuggets take a 1-0 lead in that best of 7 Western Conference first round series. Then Hawks and the Knicks. Hawks never led after the first quarter. Only trailed by 3 at the half, though, but a slow build for New York in the second half. They led by as many as 19 with just over 3 minutes left. They won by 11. Brunson, 28. Cat with 25 in victory for the Knicks. They take the 1-0 lead in that best of seven. And then it was the weirdest of the four on Saturday, where we already knew there was going to be no Luka and no Austin Reeves going for the Lakers. Then we found out that Kevin Durant, with a knee contusion in practice, he was unable to go. So you have this weird game where Bronny actually got in for 3 minutes at the beginning of the second quarter.
Yeah.
He's LeBron and Bronny. He's like, what am I watching? Is the NBA playoffs? Rockets led 4-2, then not again till early third quarter, 51-50, then never again. Lakers led by as many as 16. They won by 9. The only non-double-digit final of the weekend, by the way. 9-point win by the Lakers. Rockets, of course, before the Durant news, were prohibitive favorites in that series. Kennard, Luke Kennard, led the way for the Lakers with 27. LeBron had 19 with 13 assists. DeAndre Ayton, 19 and 11 boards. But the Lakers were, for those who are like, I mean, there's two ways to look at that series now. Hey, if the Lakers can pull off one more victory, get it to 2-2, maybe Luka comes back, and maybe it's advantage Lakers at that point. The other way to look at this is the Lakers shot 60.6% from the field in this game, 40 of 66, while Houston shot 37.6%. And they had how many more attempts? 27 more field goal attempts in the game than the Lakers did, but they were 35 of 93. Because the Lakers got out-rebounded 44-35. They had 18 turnovers. So I don't know how sustainable that is for the Lakers, given that box score and given the way that game played out. But the Lakers, doesn't matter. They banked the win 1-0 in that best of seven. Yesterday, second verse, same as the first. Celtics, all five starters in double figures. Brown, 26. Tatum, 25. The Sixers, big stat, they were 4 of 23 from behind the arc. That's just never going to get it done. 17.4%. Sixers never led. They trailed by 15 after the first quarter. Celtics led by as many as 23 in the second, led by 18 at the half, by as many as 26 in the third, 24 end of third, by as many as 35 in the fourth. They won by 32. Celtics, huge, easy win over the Sixers to take a 1-0 lead in that 2-7 Eastern Conference best of seven. Then the Suns and the Thunder. Suns led 5-0. Didn't matter. That was it. They trailed 35-20 at the end of the first quarter. OKC led by as many as 25 in the second, by 21 at the end of the half, by 31 at the end of the third, by 39 in the fourth. They win by 35. Shea, 25. Jalen Williams, 22. Phoenix had 17 turnovers to OKC's 6. And then here's the one game. I mean, it wasn't close, but this was the opposite of what many thought. First of all, shout out to the Orlando Magic, because when we left here on Friday morning, it was kind of fait accompli that the Hornets were going to take down the Magic and take them down easy. And the Magic end up winning by 31. I think it was a 31-point deficit at halftime, if I'm not mistaken. 9-22, yes. It was a 31, it was a 22-point deficit after the first quarter Friday night for the Hornets, the NBA Hardos Hornets. They were down 31 at the half. They lose by 31. The Magic just explode on the Hornets on Friday night. So then they get this 8-1 matchup with the Pistons, and it becomes the first ever series, the first ever 1-8 game one, where the 8 seed never trailed. And by definition, the number one seed never led. First time ever in an opener. Magic led by 13 against the Pistons after in the first, by 8 after the first quarter. Pistons did get within 1 in the second quarter. They trailed by 4 at the half. Magic then went up 63-52. Here's where I thought the Pistons were going to take over. A 13-2 Pistons run tied it at 65 apiece with 7:04 left in the third. But within 3 minutes and 20 seconds, the Magic were back up double digits. They led by 7 after 3. Pistons never got it to a one-possession game. Magic win by 11. Cade, 39 in defeat. And he was not too happy after the game. Durant had 8 points and 7 boards on 3 of 4 shooting. Durant, you're I don't know if he's the presumptive most improved player, but he was second in the market. Avdija was third, by the way. Speaking of which, in the nightcap last night, Spurs and the Blazers, Wembanyama, 21 points in the first half, setting an NBA play-by-play record for the most points scored in the opening half of a playoff debut in the play-by-play era. 35 total is what he ended up. Blazers lost the lead at 12-11. They trailed by 9 at the end of the first quarter, by as many as 16 in the second, 10 at the half. They did have an 8-0 run at the beginning of the second half that got them within 2, but But a 26-13 Spurs run the rest of the quarter put the Spurs up 15, led by as many as 21 in the fourth. Result was never in doubt, but the spread was, as Avdija and crew kept scoring. But the Spurs do cover in the end, win by 13. Again, Wemby with 35, Denny Avdija with 30 and 10 in defeat for the Blazers. So everything in the NBA kind of ho-hum. That doesn't mean we can't win betting on this stuff. The VSiN Killer Sports Bracket Challenge underway.
Yes.
The second annual. We did, it was 15 of us last year. Fezzik won. I mentioned Zach Cohen finished second. Doug Kazarian was third. I was fourth. So this year, it's anything. I got to take down Fezzik. Not going to let him win again. So we're out of the gates. Carl has the most points so far. Carl's going to be a problem. Carl is 6-2. By the way, it's 20 games we have to... 20. It's the only thing we're picking is full game against the spread and totals.
Okay.
That's it. You can't do anything else. No halves, no anything else. No props. Carl is 6-2 out of the gates. I am 5-0. Fezzik, I believe, is 5-3. Okay. So you pick whenever you want
to
pick.
So you don't have to pick every game.
No. You have to get 20 picks in the first round, 20 total. Second round is 10 picks, and I can't remember what's after that. I think 5-3, if I'm not mistaken. It's only 30-plus picks to go. It's very early. But Sack in the lead, at least in the point column, 6-2. So that's fun. You can follow that at contest.killersports.com. Standings, I'm not sure, are updated. Update the standings, Carl. You're in the lead, for God's sakes. Go on, just put them up there. What's going on? Each day we got to make our picks an hour before the tip-off of the first game.
Okay.
Because you don't want any shenanigans midday. None of that. We'll come back. The guest brigade begins. Greg Peterson, Patriots Day Baseball, and more. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Free picks backed by real analysis. That's Just Win Bets, baby. Mathematical models, AI-driven best bets across NFL, college hoops, NBA, NHL, UFC, soccer, and more. Plus a live weekend preview every Friday. Subscribe on YouTube, follow on X, and get their free daily best bets newsletter. A newsletter at justwinbetsbaby.com. Check them out. Scan the QR code for more there as well. We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it. This is from JD in Florida. Jason returning on 420. Poetic. Well played. Complete coincidence. I did not think about that. I swear. I did not think about it. That is poetic, though. Jason McKinney. What's this? The Padres are 9-1 in their last 10 games. They finally moved to a half game back of the Dodgers. Only took about 200 plus games. That's right. Heading back to the last season standings. Let's go, Reds. I'm riding your coattails. Oh, so close. Red legs. Let's go, Red Legs. By the way, speaking of the Padres, just want to point this out. Mason Miller now. The update on Mason Miller after he goes three up, three down. Actually, he didn't. He gave up a hit on Saturday, which was like a monumental event. Only the second hit that Mason Miller has given up this season. But Mason Miller right now with the Cy Young candidacy of Mason Miller hinges on, we only got five more months to get through with Mason Miller, hinges on throwing out the tango formula. But this year, 11 and a third innings pitched, zero earned runs, two hits, 27 Ks, two walks. That's 21.45 Ks per nine, a 0.35 whip and eight saves. And again, as I like to do, you take it back to August 5th of last year when he gave up two runs through the postseason and the World Baseball Classic. It's just ridiculous. The whip since then is 0.44. Has given up a total of 16 hits and walks combined since then. It's incredible. This is also from 3Jock3131. Good morning, Young Gil. Mason Miller down to 10-1 for Cy Young. I didn't even see that tweet. Books should just pay us all now. They should. Just pay us all now. Did SGA even play the fourth quarter? I'll tell you who played all four quarters. Jokic. Let's cash that 100-1 already. Have a great show. Here's the sadly, the playoffs don't count with these votes, but I understand. Well, he's just stumping for Jokic on the MVP. I'm stumping for Wembanyama, but the votes are in. We shall see. Greg Peterson, kind enough to join us for a second segment on a great Monday morning where there's Patriots Day baseball. Okay, so far he's on the Tigers against the Red Sox. He's on the Guardians. He's also on the Guardians over today as well. Let's hold your other five picks. I just want to ask you, because those are wanted, because everybody's clamoring for a Jason Weingarten personal life update. We have not asked you about your personal life lately, Greg. Everything good with the ladies, or lady singular? Everything good?
Right now we are playing the field. We are playing the field. We are right now seeing what is all out there. So that is the update.
We are playing the field. I like that he goes into a tout mode. We are playing the field. Okay. Are you more like a shortstop, or is this more like, you know, you're playing left field and nobody, and everybody's pulling the ball as left-handed hitters to the right field, and you're just kind of sitting out there? You fielding a lot?
We are right now back in Carmelo Anthony mode.
Okay.
We are looking for our shots, and any sort of a shot that we are taking, we are going to take the shot.
Volume shooter.
He's called himself. Yep.
Pass me the ball, and it's going up.
Okay. All right, Greg. Respect. I respect your game. All right, back to baseball. Sorry about that. Just wanted to get that update. I could drill down, but I'll spare that for the VSiN Plus Plus subscription. What's next? What do you have on this Patriots Day? What else?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've got ourselves a lot to take a look at here with regards to Rays versus Reds. This game was off the board when I was doing my write-ups, but unfortunately, because I know that you are in on the Reds for the entirety of the month, I'm back in on the Rays money line with Rhett Lauder, who's going to be going for the Reds. He's not really much of a strikeout guy, only about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He actually missed the entire 2025 season, has come back here and has been relatively solid. But I do think that there might be a little bit of, shall we say, herky-jerkiness with him. And the reason why this game was off the board overnight is that the Rays are a little bit unclear with their pitching decision, because it looks like Jesse Schulten should be some sort of bulk guy. They're most likely going to utilize an opener for him, but the big reason why I'm going to be in on the Rays here on the money line, would be willing to go up to about a minus 125 on them. This offense is actually really good. Junior Caminero last year on 44 home runs. Yandy Diaz is one of the most underrated players, in my opinion, in all baseball. Bullpen has been awful. And the Reds, going to your point about the Reds, they're actually number one in the big leagues right now in terms of bullpen ERA,
yep,
which it still astounds me, because I am not an Emilio Pagan guy whatsoever, and I still don't think he's a very good closer, but everyone not named Emilio Pagan has been pretty good in that bullpen. But with the Rays, I'd be willing to lay up to minus 125, banking on that good offense.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I told you every time Pagan takes a hill, there's a little part of me that's like, oh boy, here we go. Let's see if we can get through this. And so far, so good. So that's a bonus pick from Greg on the Rays. Come on, yeah. Red Legs, figure it out. I'll be rooting against you in that one, Greg. You understand. Okay, Braves, yes, and Nationals. Braves are one of the teams that the Reds are looking up at in terms of most wins here in the early going of the season. You are playing a total in this game in Washington.
Yep, I do like the over, because the Nationals offense has been great this year. They're a top five team in terms of run creation. James Wood has been able to put it together. CJ Abrams, both of these guys have been solid. But even the ancillary guys like a Dallin Lyle, Brady House, these guys are finding way on base. Nationals were also dead last in terms of bullpen ERA last year. And Jake Irvin is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to overs. Last year, a nice hearty 5.70 ERA, giving up over 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. And the Braves look like they're back in full force with regards to the offense, because in 2023, led the league with 5.75 runs per game. Entering into the weekend against the Phillies, entering Saturday, they were back up to 5.75 runs per game, even with Ronald Acuna Jr. having a little bit of a slow start to the season. With Bryce Elder, he's had a great start to year himself, 0.77 ERA. Keep in mind, he had a 5.30 ERA last season, so I do think that that's going to come back to earth a little bit. Now, if I'm looking at a side, I'm looking at the Braves on the run line, just because they actually do have a very good bullpen. Racy Iglesias back to himself, and I mentioned it with the Nationals, just not great there. But total of 8 to 8.5, just too low for me. I felt like this should have been 9+. Like the over in that Braves run line.
All right, Orioles and Royals are in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. It is Kyle Bradish. It is Seth Lugo. A couple teams that have disappointed many here in the early going.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's going to get a whole heck of a lot better moving forward for the Orioles, because they're all sorts of banged up. Jordan Westberg is on the injured list. Jackson Holiday is on the injured list. And some of these young guys like Kobe Mayo, Samuel Basayo, they've not been able to pick it up. Adley Rutschman is now dealing with injury as well. And on the flip side for the Royals, Seth Lugo's looked better this year. Now, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be amazing moving forward because he does give up a lot of contact, not too much of a strikeout artist, and actually moved the fences in Kauffman Stadium. You wouldn't know it if you were looking at the games as far this season, though, because, man, the Royals have not put up a lot of runs. So right now, seeing that total of 8.5 to 9, I do like that total to the under. But with Seth Lugo, I do have faith in him, along with this solid bullpen of the Royals. Recognize that Carlos Aceves currently on the injured list, but Lucas Cercich is a guy that's able to close out games. John Schreiber has been a little bit shaky this year, but I love the pickup of Matt Strom. Think that this is going to be a lower scoring game, but I do think that the Royals are going to get a little bit more out of Salvador Perez, Vinny Pascantino. Both have been just absolutely miserable to start the season. So took the Royals here, plus money on the money line and that total under.
All right, Cubbies at Wrigley hosting the Phillies. Cubbies pulling off the sweep of the Metropolitans. The Phillies, I believe, got swept, if I'm not mistaken. Cubs -103. I mean, this is really close to a coin flip, this game. Aaron Nola, Colin Ray, your starters. What do you got here?
Yep, about a pick. A little bit more favorable juice on the Cubs, like even money, -105, somewhere in that neighborhood. I like the Cubs here. Like, I just believe that Aaron Nola has been overvalued for years. Last year, he had over a 6 ERA. He was giving up 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. It's been a little bit more respectable this year. But also keep in mind, the Phillies are coming off of Sunday Night Baseball, and they have to travel off of Sunday Night Baseball as well. And that total of 8, it looks like the wind should be blowing outward a little bit towards back half the game. It might be a little bit more directional towards the beginning part of this game, but I do think that towards the end of the game, you're going to get some more hitter-friendly conditions. And that's big because the Phillies are without their closer in Yoan Duran. He lands on the injury list. I recognize that the Cubs, they've got their rash of injuries when it comes to bullpen as well. Like, about 2/3 of the bullpen that they had last year is currently on the injured list. So that's a little bit less than great. But Colin Ray, hip hip hooray to the fact that he's been able to keep the ball in the yard. Last year, 1.1 home runs per 9 innings, about 1 this year. He's not giving out a lot of walks, very judicious with his pitch count. So that helps you be able to limit bullpen use a little bit. And Phillies are averaging only 3.3 runs per game away from him. I think that goes northward a little bit, but like that total of 8 to the over and the Phillies or the Cubs here, -105 or so, -103 to the money line.
All right, let's do one more. The weird Monday spillover game between the Dodgers and the Rockies. Dodgers took the first one on Friday. Rockies took the games on Saturday or Sunday. How are you playing this?
I like the over because the ball is flying out there in Coors, and for the LA Dodgers entering it yesterday, 7.75 runs per game away from home. And Jose Quintana, the guy was so lucky last year with the Brewers. He's given out 8 walks in 8 innings thus far this season. Justin Robelski was coming out of the bullpen last year and was pretty solid out of the Dodgers bullpen, but think that he's going to yield some runs here. So seeing that total at 11.5 right now, like that to the over.
Dodgers not the same with Teoscar, Mookie, and Freeman out of that lineup. And then you got Roki and Emmett Sheehan in the rotation. Not too menacing, let's put it that way. A little bit of a different team when that's the case. Greg, thank you for all. Appreciate it. And thank you for the personal life update as well. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Greg Peterson, everybody. The one and only. Michael Montesano, the NFL Draft, and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Hey, we got a new podcast. It's VSiN's Daily Diamond. And specifically, this is the By the Books duo. This is Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis breaking down the MLB card on a daily basis. They do it on By the Books. This is that in podcast form. They break down the slate one game at a time. Every day, Major League Baseball, the VSiN Daily Diamond podcast, available on your favorite podcast platform. We invite you to check it out. They do a great job with that every day, doing the full baseball slate, including today. Check it out, VSiN's Daily Diamond. Wes Reynolds is kind enough to join us for a second segment. There's a couple things we got to talk about before we get to Wes's thoughts on the NBA playoffs. One, you wanted to make one other point about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, Wes?
Well, the irony here is that you have Phil Collins going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the same year being inducted as Oasis, specifically Noel Gallagher. because there was a feud basically in the mid-90s, I believe, is when this was started, when Noel Gallagher not only referred to Phil Collins as junk food music, also referred to Sting as that in terms of their solo career specifically.
Shut up.
But Noel Gallagher once called Phil Collins the Antichrist and also said, we need to get labor back in power so that Phil would never move back into the country. Phil, of course, a Tory supporter over there in the United Kingdom. So, and they've gone back and forth, and Phil just kind of dismissed them as rude and whatnot. So maybe they'll have the big all-star jam at the end with Liam and Noel and Phil.
Arm in arm.
At some point. Absolutely.
Or there will be fisticuffs, beef at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That should be fun.
Phil has to sit down, though, man. He can't stand up to sing anymore because of his back issues.
I know. Phil's the greatest, man. He's awesome.
Yes.
When Sussudio first came out, I was like, what's this? This is outstanding. Anyway, okay. And then the other thing I would be remiss not to ask you about, we had Wyatt Tomchek in here. The great Wyatt Tomchek was here Friday. Looking forward to WrestleMania 42, the back-to-back here in Las Vegas. I know you are a huge wrestling fan. Give me the review as best as you can, if you would.
Well, I'm glad you distinguished that because I am a wrestling fan. I'm not a corporate, soulless wrestling fan like today, because that's where I think it's gone a little bit. Even though that main event last night was pretty darn good, a lot of the matches were slow. There were no like backstage segments. There were no interview setups, like kind of like the old days. And you have everybody in town for this because they have a separate thing from WWE called WrestleCon. So you have all these folks that are here, you know, taking pictures, doing meet and greets, selling their gimmicks at the different tables at this thing. So you have them there. It's like, give me some legends. Give me some nostalgia for a brief segment backstage. Like, give me Hacksaw Jim Duggan or Honky Tonk Man or something, just for a brief segment instead of going to commercial break. I guess if you are watching this on the ESPN Plus feed, it's like, commercial break, be back in 4 minutes. And it just like stops the show. And I just, you know, now with this new ownership, it's a lot different anymore, where I think maybe, you know, it's all about moments. It's all about getting those viral moments and not having like really good matches where you're doing long storytelling and whatnot, with a couple notable exceptions. So it's not the same. I guess nothing ever stays the same anymore.
Wow.
So that'll be my old man get off my lawn, whereas others are saying, I don't want the playoffs on Amazon Prime. So that's their old man rant. Today is my old man rant on wrestling the way it used to be and the way it should be, but never will be again.
No, but that's interesting to me, for as someone who is not into it nearly as much as you are. It's interesting to me that even that, you know, fans can reach their limit on it, because the one I was telling you off air, the one article that I saw, the headline was McAfee was a waste of time. Pat McAfee's inclusion was a waste of time. And the other thing is, and you alluded to it here, was it's like a 4-hour event where if you actually put the fights together, that only was like an hour and change of the 4 hours.
Yes.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You want some action. Like, there's always lulls, and that's, you know, the in-ring action that's taking out, of course, the long, lengthy entrances that most of the talent get on this show. But, you know, you want to have spectacle. You want to have the sizzle, but you want to have the steak too. I still think people want like really good matches, as well. So, you know, it's not how it used to be. Things never are.
Wow, Wes, I feel bad for you just hearing this. This is.
I know. Yeah. I know. I brought this show to a screeching halt. Weingarten coming back, it's a celebration here. And
it's interesting.
I just hit the brakes on that, didn't I?
No, you're fantastic. I just personally, I feel bad for you that this thing is being ruined for you, for God's sakes. Okay,
it is.
To the National Basketball Association, which I know is not the sport that you are necessarily coupled with, but you get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is there a play that you have here tonight in any of these three games?
I am going to probably look at the under in Toronto and Cleveland at 222.5, 223. Both these teams went bonkers from the three. on Saturday. And right now, one of the things we're seeing, and it's really with all three games tonight, Toronto, Cleveland, Atlanta, New York, Minnesota, Denver, all the favorites are getting bet here early in the morning. Because we saw how well the favorites did in the first round, save for Orlando winning outright in Detroit last night. And at some point, I'm interested to monitor this throughout the day. I think if you like the underdogs in any of these games, wait. Wait a little bit. Wait as close to tip-off in these respective games as you can. Because eventually, I think that there's going to be a buyback point. We know the first round last year was all favorites in game one. It was pretty much the same, I think, 7-1 there in game two. And another thing, you have these double-digit favorites that are winning these games. Like, you would have told me several years ago, I'm like, it's absurd to me that I'm going to lay 12 in an NBA playoff game. I don't care. It's the playoffs. Like, it's going to be competitive. And sure enough, did it last night with San Antonio as they held on to cover against Portland. And then you saw Boston. Of course, they didn't have to hold on. They absolutely destroyed Philadelphia. So I guess one more old man rant here, Gil, going back to our generation. Let's have the first round be the best of five.
Thank you.
I just think so many of these games, not all of them, not all these series are going to be sweeps, right? Not all of them. You know, there's going to be a game where maybe Toronto steals a game from Cleveland or Atlanta steals a game from the Knicks. But it's like, do I really need a 7-game series of Phoenix and Oklahoma City?
Nope.
I think the Oklahoma City proved their point yesterday. I don't need to see, you know, this needs to be hit it and quit it, man. Like James Brown would say, this needs to be an absolute wrap after three games. And it brought a thought into my head, Gil, because we like to review these documentaries. The Jailblazers series, by the way, on Netflix, which is about the late 90s, early 2000s Portland Trailblazers. It's only about an hour, 15-minute watch, so it's really short, and it's not broken up into parts. But I remember when they had the Lakers on the brink in Game 7?
Yes.
And they had them down 13 going in the fourth quarter. I think this was the first year of Kobe and Shaq together. And Portland's going to beat them, right? And then they miss, like, every shot in the fourth quarter, and the Lakers win. And Portland doesn't decide to totally run it back. They were that close. Bob Whitsitt, Trader Bob, makes a bunch of trades. And then they get swept in three games, I think, two straight years against the Lakers. And it's like, I think we need to go to five games in the first round. Some of these series are just going to continue to be lopsided.
Yeah, I say it all the time. It's an interminable first round. Not only that, because there's obviously no back-to-backs either, right? So it just lasts forever. And it's like, oh, great, game four between, you know, the Raptors and the Cavs, just to name one series. So it's one of those things where it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, right? Because it's all about money in the end. And so they're willing.
It's all about TV. It's all about content. That's why, you know, Prime, Amazon pays a lot of dollars for this. And that's why it's on, even though I think people freaked out on Saturday. It's like, okay, I'm turning to ESPN or ABC or Turner or wherever. It's like, where's the damn playoff game?
Yes.
Saturday afternoon, and they were on Amazon Prime. So now they're on all these different stations. Last night it was NBC. Wednesday night, I think it'll be ESPN and whatnot. So check your local listings.
Yes, as they say. I think it was Will who texted at one point yesterday. He goes, is the entire playoffs going to be on Amazon, for God's sakes? What is going on? Although I will say this, shout out to that studio crew, because I think they do a really good job. Dirk Nowitzki, Steve Nash. You know who, the breakout star is? Udonis Haslem. Like, I would never have expected Udonis Haslem to be as great as he is on TV. He's great.
Blake Griffin has been great. Taylor Rooks, I think, is a very good host that's kind of been underrated for a long time and finally kind of gets a spotlight to have, to steer the car, drive the car, so to speak, and she's been fabulous.
Yeah. Anything else, NBA, or just the one?
Just the one for now, okay. But I'm going to be waiting to maybe bet these dogs, even though I'm stepping in front of a freight train based on what we saw on the weekend. But wait on them before tip, because I think people are going to bet what they saw last. People are going to bet and say, oh, the favorites rolled, so we're going to bet them again. So if you're wanting to bet the dogs, wait a little bit. Be patient.
The zigzag theory. We shall see if it manifests or not. Wes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Wes Reynolds on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. WrestleMania 42. Love that dude. Jeff Parlay, the Grover Cleveland of producers on baseball.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. You can scan that QR code for more. Sharpplays.com. Check them out. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for Kelly Bidlin. Danny, you okay? You're coughing fit
yeah,
off
there, right? Yeah, I needed some water there in the break.
Between you and Montesano.
Yeah.
Men down on the show today. I just want to read this one tweet because we had Adam Burke on moments ago, and he's fading the Reds today. Rob Smith, Adam Burke has been a Reds hater since I started listening to VSiN in 2021, and as a Reds fan, his whining is music to my ears. It's one of my favorite things in sports betting are the people who listen who are convinced that certain people have it out for their team. By the way, Rob, I'm all about the Reds, as you know, for the next 11 days or whatever it is. 11 days, that's right. Let's go, Reds. You're my favorite team in baseball for the next 11 days. 9 games left for the Reds. That's the thing, though. The reason that so the top four teams, Dodgers, Padres, Braves, each with 15 wins, Reds with 14. Reds have 9 games left. Padres have 8 games left. But the Dodgers and Braves both have 10 games left. So they remain the leader in the clubhouse because of that little edge that they've got going again, dead heats. If we tie, I alluded to this earlier. We have found Carl Sack.
Yes,
he's okay. He updated the standings over there. This is the VSiN Killer Sports Playoff Challenge, NBA Playoff Challenge. This is the second annual. We did this last year, and Steve Fezzik was your winner. What do you know? Contest winner Steve Fezzik once again winning another contest. He edged Zach Cohen, Doug Kazarian, and me. I was in fourth. This year, we're off to start again. This is the format of this. You can follow this at contest.killersports.com. Contest.killersports.com. You can follow this leaderboard. This is a contest throughout the NBA playoffs. Began on Saturday. It is 38 total picks. It is 20 in the first round, 10 in the second round, 5 in the conference semis, and then 3, I want to say, in the NBA finals. So a total of 38 plays. And you get to do, so the 20 picks in the first round, which is a lot of picks, by the way, and it's only full game ATS, full game totals. That's it. No, nothing else. No halftimes, no second halves, no props, no nothing like that. And this is interesting because of the way that people choose to play it in a contest, because you can vomit out as many picks as possible as quickly as possible, which seems to be the Fezzik strategy. This was what he did last year, and he's doing it again this year. So he's already made 8 plays after the first weekend, right? 8 plays. We only have game one so far. Yep. He's 5-3, which is, you know, the Fezzik, he gets there to the end, and he watches everybody then else have to sort of struggle when he posts a number as the leader in the clubhouse. Or we have the opposite of that, right? JVT is in this with us. JVT has yet to make a play. So he's got the full 20 to still make in the first round. So there's varying strategies in terms of volume. Some people don't even have a strategy in terms of volume. Some people are like, no, I'll just make the picks as they come where I feel that they should be made. But as you see, Carl Sack is your leader, the man who's making the contest for us over at Killer Sports. Carl Sack, 6-2 with his 8 picks. So I guess he's got 8 as well right out of the gate. There I am off to a fine start at 5-0. Drew Dinsick is in this. He's 3-1. Kyle Akins, 3-1. Then you see Ryan Kramer from the Sports Betting Pod, Sports Gambling Pod. He's at 3-2. Alex Christensen, Nick Whalen off to a clean sheet start at 2-0. The great Aaron Rinning. You know, Aaron Rinning and Carl Sack, probably the best NBA handicappers there are. He's 2-2 along with Sean Green, also from the Sports Gambling Podcast. So 15 deep. And that's where we are right now in this contest, again, at contest.killersports.com, which all of us have a great time doing because it really does keep you engaged into the NBA playoffs in a way that otherwise you wouldn't. By the way, first prize is like, what, $3,000. Second prize, $500. So it's not like we're winning tons of money if you win this. But it's just fun to compete against the best in the business. And I always say, well, Fezzik's thing is, Fezzik will come in on Friday because Fezzik's whole thing with all these contests is he goes, all these people want to say, you know, what they have in pocket and all they're doing well and all this. And then you put them in a contest and it really shows, right, which cream always rises to the top. That's his opinion on that stuff, right? That's always his rallying cry. My thing is, from my perspective, because I'm not an NBA regular season bettor, my thing, if you listen to the show long enough, what I always say about the NBA, and I say this with really with humility, is I am not as good as these guys are NBA regular season. I would never try to be as good as them in the regular season. But I feel like once you get to the postseason, specifically in the NBA, I feel like me not being as close to the sun as they have been in an 82-game schedule is actually an advantage, because I am not, how can I put this? I am not influenced by what I think I've seen during the regular season in a way that they are going to be necessarily, by the way, and justifiably and understandably, more entrenched in. So we saw that most famously, I think, with the Miami Heat a few years ago, where they were the 8th seed. And I was able to make, by the way, I'm betting all this stuff too, right? I was able to make a lot of money betting the Heat in the playoffs, whereas the guys who are following the NBA 82 games just simply couldn't buy into the fact that this Heat team could do what they were doing, beating the Celtics, right, getting to the NBA Finals. So that was probably the most glaring example of this. But this is, you know, what have we seen with the Hornets so far? The Magic is going to be an interesting thing moving forward, an interesting team, because the Magic preseason were expected to do big things in the NBA. Then they were absolutely stumbling down the stretch. Banchero couldn't have looked worse. And then they just destroy the Hornets on Friday night.
Yeah.
And they win game one against the Pistons in an 8-1 where they never trailed, which is the first time, as we mentioned earlier, that an opening game between an 8-1, that an 8 has never trailed and a 1 has never led.
Unreal.
And if you're the Pistons and you have Cade Cunningham, who dropped 39 in a loss, you got to be like, hey, other guys?
Need a little help.
Duren, you want to act like you care? Like, you want to act like you're engaged here?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think following a contest like this is fascinating, because I'm always curious about how others handicap other sports that I'm not necessarily, you know, as into as I am the NBA, but where they pick their shots. And then, of course, you see contest strategy with all that. So again, check it out, contest.killersports.com. Thank you to Carl Sack for putting that together.
Yeah, I see Zach's in it too.
Finished second place last year.
I see Zach, he's at 12 right now, but he's only made one pick.
He's only made one pick.
And then that's right. Kelly
Bidlin.
Kelly's 1-1.
He's 1-1.
And then JBT still hasn't made a pick yet.
That's
so
right.
You know, talk about that strategy. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So thank you again to Carl Sack for that. We do have some NFL breaking news. It's not really breaking, but just sort of these little tidbits we're seeing come across. One, confirmed pretty much now that A.J. Brown will be traded to the Patriots.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Once they resume talks on June 1st, I guess, with the way that the salary is structured, that's when that will get done. We just saw this morning that Brandon Aubrey just received the largest contract for a kicker in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, it was about 20 minutes ago from Ian Rappaport. There's a new highest-paid kicker in the NFL, as the Cowboys and All-Pro Brandon Aubrey have a deal. It is a 4-year, $28 million deal with $20 million guaranteed.
A kicker?
Kicker.
$7 million a year, yes. $20 million guaranteed. Good on him, man. He deserves it.
Yeah.
What a weapon Brandon Aubrey is. So that goes through. We just heard from the Steelers also. The Steelers have no notice from Aaron Rodgers as to what his plans are. I believe we saw this act last year as well, if I'm not mistaken, deep into the summer. I was about to say, I don't know who this Aaron Rodgers thinks he is, but he seems to be operating from the standpoint of peak Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right now, the Steelers saying Will Howard will be QB1. When they get to training camp, at least at this point, he's QB1. Of course, it's April, so much can happen between now and then, but that's where that stands. And then there was the Dexter Lawrence trade this weekend, which we talked about with Montesano. I was curious your thoughts. Lawrence goes for the 10th pick in the draft. The Cincinnati Bengals willing to give up the 10th pick in the draft and pay Dexter Lawrence when they were not willing to pay Trey Hendrickson, which... Okay, Trey Hendrickson, more of a pass rusher, Dexter Lawrence on the interior. But I found that very Bengalish, where I'm just like, okay, you guys decided to do that. Now, as I said with Montesano, that's not to say in the short term the Giants won't be worse defensively, because I think they will be. Because Dexter Lawrence, even though his stats cratered, he still eats up linemen. And he allows,
takes on double team all the
time. Yeah, he's like, I think he was, you know, it's incredible. So he allows everybody else to sort of ad-lib in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. You have a thought, winner or loser in that trade?
I would say Bengals. I think I'd say I don't want to say winner because I think if you're going to pay, you're going to pay Dexter Lawrence that money. Why not get an actual true pass rusher? Because I just don't think that solves the issue that they've having on the defensive line. They still don't have a true. I mean, if Shamar Stewart comes back, you know, and is what he is to be a first round guy from last year, but they still don't have like a true pass rusher. I just don't see. I think it's a good trade by the Giants. They weren't going to get a deal done, and now
if you're the Giants,
you got
and they're offering you the 10th. You were not getting better than the 10th pick in the draft. No way, for a guy who the whole league knew wanted out anyway. Yeah. So good on the Giants. You got the 5th pick and the 10th pick now. We were sort of talking about the draft implications or potential implications earlier with Montesano on the show. We'll recap all the bets next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa.